Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10. The pass is tight end.
And Raja Bell.
Bell has got 22 to Raja.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Happy Friday. Welcome to Cannell and Bell with Danny Cannell and Raja Bell. It was a great day yesterday. We're going to get to the Masters. We're also going to get to Kyrie Irving. No longer going to play anymore at all this season as the Celtics decide to shut him down after knee surgery. Conor McGregor goes ham.
Connor.
And it was incredible. I can't believe.
You sound like it with your sick boys.
Yeah.
She sounds cold as kicking my butt.
I love it. We're going to get to Tebow. I can't believe you put that in there, Debo. Bama versus LeBron James. More of that.
It's
I don't know. There's
Tebow
a Bama story. Okay. Tebow time. And RG3 gets signed. So we're going to get to all that. But first, it was all about Augusta. It was all about the Masters yesterday. How did you consume it? Were you like dialed in every single shot?
I watched the live stream from. I picked
what
him up.
What you can do CBS Sports HQ.
Yeah, I got him on a tee. I got him on a tee at one, and I didn't intend to watch the whole thing, but I did.
Yeah.
I watched him. I had to pop out here and there to get something done, but for the most part, I watched shot for shot.
I was dialed in, too. I actually watched him warm up on the range.
Oh, wow.
And he looked great on the range.
Yeah, he's striping it.
Unfortunately, he didn't look so great on the course, but I think he's in a good spot.
Yeah.
I think he's in a really good spot. I don't think you can't win the Masters on Thursday, but I think you can lose it.
You can lose it.
And I think he's still in a good position. He's not in a great position. He's in a good position.
I agree. And I think like his post round press conference, when I was like looking into his eyes, trying to get a little feel for where he's at, he was good with it. Like realizing that you don't birdie any of the par fives there, like he's got to birdie the par fives.
Mm-hmm.
These younger guys, I've said it before, these younger guys seem to be way more, excuse me, pin hunting. Like type of players than Tiger. Tiger's like course management. Like he wants to miss in the right spots, tear up the par fives. So if he's not going to do that, he's going to be right around even par or one over, unless something spectacular happens. So I think he's in a decent spot.
You know what I thought when I was watching him play? I thought he was a little bit nervous. Like that's a good thing, I think. But
yeah.
I think his nerves affected him. We did the over under on whether he would hit the fairway on one. I thought he would take out 3 wood. You know, control it so he keep it in the fairway. He hooked it left into the woods.
It was a 3 wood.
Right, with the 3 wood. He still like went down because he wanted to try to control it. He is struggling big time with the driver, which he's been doing this whole time, but it's gotten him into more trouble at the Masters.
So what do you, I really thought it was big and it wasn't like 17, 18, he piped 2 drivers.
Yes.
I thought that would go a long way for him coming into today.
I think you could be right. Because I think it could be that confidence booster where he gets it going. And finds his game and could make a run today because he's got to get within 6 or 7 shots, and be in that striking distance going into the weekend. And then if he could put up a big number, that'd be huge. You know who is in the leader who has actually been lights out is Jordan Spieth. He's been incredible. I watched some of his round. He finished at 6 under. It was as clean a round as you could get. He's composed, almost. Like, I look at him like there's no way this guy is as young as he is.
Right.
The way he handles the pressure, the way he talks to the media, like, all of it, he was super dialed in, which he's – Augusta, some guys, like, get a good feel for a course, and they're locked in. Did you ever have an arena that you shot in that you felt better, like, visually?
It's a tough question. But, yeah, I always shot well in Seattle when we went to Seattle.
Why?
I don't know.
The lights were better.
It was just...
But it might be. Like, seriously. Like, it might
it's
be something
ambience.
That... No, but, like, their perception might be better.
There are certainly arenas that I shot bad in.
Right.
Like, the old... San Antonio? Was it Hemisphere or whatever? Any big cavernous building that had... That you couldn't see the seats behind. And there was, like... We went to Syracuse and played in the...
Carrier Dome?
Yeah.
I was awful. Couldn't shoot the ball.
Yeah.
I know. Real talk. Like, the depth perception really threw me. But in terms of... arenas that I shot great in, I'm not so sure which ones.
So Jordan Spieth, obviously in a really strong position. Are you familiar with the Tony Finau story?
Yeah.
Like, how about this dude? So he goes out in the par 3 tournament. His kid is right behind him watching. He hits a hole in one, and he's running down the fair, like celebrating with the
backwards crowd,
running backwards. And it is hilly up there. I think, like, how could you just trip? It's a golfer, like, non-athletic. But it is really super hilly. So he rolls his ankle, but not only just rolls it, it pops out of place. It was disgusting.
Oh, it's dislocated, yeah.
He's caught in a heap, and immediately he goes over and clicks it back into place and finishes the par 3 tournament. They didn't even know if he was going to play, and then here he is in second place the first round.
You know what kind of – I should have picked him because I had a good feeling, like – he's one of those dudes that could just overpower. You say people can overpower Augusta sometimes. Like, he is. He hits the the mess out of the ball. My buddy Mehmet Okur out in San Diego plays a lot of rounds of golf with Tony Finau and family. And so like I get to see him on Instagram a lot and stuff like that. But what kind of tough dude do you have to be to just look down at that ankle and just reach down and pop it back in place like that? It almost looked like it happens to him like on the regular. You have to be used to doing that.
I got the scoop for it because I watched his post round interview and he was on with Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah.
And Van Pelt asked him these questions. He said, so he was talking about it. He said the reason, he said it never happened to him with that ankle. He said he plays a lot of basketball and he sprains the other ankle.
He said he's never sprained one thing.
Right. But he said, so he said he sprained ankles. He's never had that happen. He said when he went down, he was embarrassed because he didn't want to be the guy that like that gets in front of a whole crowd. So he said it was kind of like he just looked
Adrenaline took over and just popped it back into place.
Because I think most guys would just left it there and like you're sitting there with it out of place. So he said, and then he said he like played it off like one of those things where you trip and you try to act just like you didn't trip.
That is so dope.
So he was walking back.
That's a bad dude.
Oh yeah. So and the, but he had to have an MRI the morning yesterday morning before he started the round, and then they told him, hey, as long as it's structurally okay, and they told him it was, they said it's just a pain deal. He's like, I'm going to do it. He's like, it's the Masters. Are you kidding me?
Tougher than 95% of basketball players.
Oh, and maybe football players, too.
Like, How about baseball players?
Baseball players would have been out for a month. Basketball players at least 3 weeks.
Right. Football player maybe 1 week. Right. 1 week with that one. So it was really cool to watch him play. He said it was all adrenaline. I'll be interested to see how he does today, like if it's more sore because he's not as much adrenaline flowing. Let's see how he does. Him, Matt Kuchar, and Rory McIlroy, that was a pretty cool moment on 16 because they all were like right around the like 3 feet. They all birdied. Oh, no, it was Phil Mickelson was with the crew, and they all had three shots around the 16th that were just all birdies, tapped him in. It was pretty cool to watch. In case you didn't know, I saw like every single shot. Phil Mickelson is still right in the hunt with Ricky Fowler. They're both 2 under. Dustin Johnson, kind of like Tiger, was kind of all over the place, but salvaged it and still is just 1 over. Justin Thomas, my guy, I put a pretty sizable chunk of money on him. He's at 2 over. He needs to get hot today.
It's your guy
pick
now.
It up.
That's my guy.
Yeah, for sure. That's my guy. But did you have? Were you watching live what happened to Sergio Garcia? Because Sergio, I think that's every amateur golfer has had a moment like this. There was often a big scene in Hollywood where it was very similar in Tin Cup when Kevin Costner's sitting there just saying, give me another ball, give me another ball.
He went Roy McIlroy on it?
5 balls in the water. Good consecutively, for you, Sergio. Just for gutting it out.
I hate Sergio Garcia.
Why?
He's like Gronk.
Because he's spitting the gut.
No, you're cool with him now.
No, I'm cool with Gronk. Yeah, I mean, he was like the old Gronk for me.
Gronk a month ago.
His beef with Tiger, like, I felt like you had to pick a side back in the day between Sergio and Tiger. I was actually happy he won the Masters yesterday. I mean, last year.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't had a major, right? That was his first major.
Yeah. And he was like the best player without a major title.
He's way too good not to have one. But that was tough to watch, man. Like,
it was painful to watch. But I thought he checked out after two.
Yeah,
and then he was like, "Ah, screw it," because like that was his whole tournament was lost. Like he's not going to make the cut. He's done. Now he's going to stick around to do the jacket presentation on Sunday.
That's a waste.
I might bounce on that one.
I mean, but why don't you like?
He wasn't losing it. That's the thing. He was like totally calm. Just it was kind of like Kevin Costner in Tin Cup. He's just like, "Give me another ball."
I'm not playing like I am playing the result. I'm clearly not a pro golfer. But at some point after the second one, don't you just put it like? Don't you just put it on the back edge of the damn green? Don't you just club up one and just say, all right, we're not doing that again?
I think he was ticked off at the pin placement, which I think a lot of guys do. I think he was doing it on purpose. Like, look how good these shots are because they were all past the hole.
They were all really good.
And they kept rolling back off. Like, I think that's what it was. I think he was like saying, screw you guys. Think about it. Jordan Spieth played the hole like 45 minutes after him and like showed you exactly, like he took the spin off the ball and like ended up 3 feet. Like, it was a perfect shot.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out today as everybody gets in line. By the way, I totally screwed up my bets on the Masters. Remember I gave you some names the other day, like Jim Furyk, Steve Stricker. You know how their odds are now? Not very good because they didn't get in. I took the bet a week before, just assuming they were long shots, thinking I was getting great odds. They're not even playing. Steve Stricker, Furyk, like Brant Snedeker. I have three guys that aren't even playing. I'm still up for...
What happened to Harry Potter Jr.?
He's in the mix. He's a one over. That's my guy. If if he wins, we're all going to dinner. Remember? We're going to Prime 112.
And live.
Prime 112 and live afterwards. It's a big night.
What's the last bet you won? The Super Bowl?
No, I had a great week, run through the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I actually had a cash out, man. Florida I thought State. I shared with you that. I got a check coming
just
to
checking.
Me.
I got to let the people know because they don't hear that.
That's fake money. All right, so we'll be watching that today. You can watch it at CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ. You can check out all the Masters live action as you watch throughout the day. NBA, there was some very kind of bummed out news. Like, yeah. I hate when I see guys that dealing with injuries. It's one thing to get shut down for a couple weeks. But Kyrie Irving, after a knee surgery, which he was supposed to be out. Remember it was called minimally invasive? Like, that was the description that was given by the Celtics. And I was like, I don't know. It's minimally invasive to everybody except the guy that you're actually going into his body. It's supposed to be out 3 to 6 weeks. Well, they announced yesterday that Kyrie Irving is shut down for the season. Apparently, he's going to take out these screws from his patella. Like, anytime you hear screws in place and there was a wire and there might have been an infection, all this stuff has me not only bummed out for the Celtics and their run this year, but it has me a little concerned about Kyrie Irving long term.
Well, so the bacterial infection with the wire and the screws.
Have you ever had that? Have you ever had any knee surgery?
I've had scopes, but
me
never
too.
A major
I've never
surgery.
Had a big yeah, ACL or patellar deal.
Knock on wood. My wife had an ACL, and it was pretty. The rehab was excruciating for her. Like, it was just ugly.
I used to walk by guys that were getting their rehab for ACLs, and yeah. I was like, oh, my goodness.
No
like,
joke.
And you get on the machine, and you're in there right after, and it is a grind. Like, yeah. It is a rough year to come back from.
Yeah, I don't wish those knee injuries. So, but I'm not super concerned about the knee, the infection, like the acute injury this time.
But once you start going in there repeatedly.
Well, and here's the deal. Yeah, you're correct on that, because, I mean, your dad's an orthopedic surgeon, so you would know. But just in general, he's injured a lot. Like, he was injured in his one season at Duke. Yeah. I cannot stand my voice right now.
Oh,
I really
good.
Cannot stand it.
I know. It's good. It is funny. I like, there are certain things that you're saying where I'm like, oh my God, he sounds
it's so bad.
Bad.
And I can't use Afrin anymore because apparently if you keep
you
using
get
the Afrin,
it doesn't
like,
work.
Right. So, like, I'm trying to thug it out and it's just not working.
Thug it out. But
generally speaking, he's injured a lot. And I think he's gotten a pass recently, like the year with LeBron when they won the championship. But if you recall the year before that, like, I was with them. He fractured the kneecap. And didn't get to play. Like, he's got foot issues. You could make a case, and I'm a Kyrie fan. I think he's a fantastic player, one of the most creative ball handling finishing guards maybe I've ever seen. But he's injury prone, and like this one, you have a point. Like in terms of having to continue to go into the knee, but just generally speaking, I think you should be worried, or the concern would be valid if you question how durable and what type of longevity he'll have over a course of a career.
It bums me out because I think it's just a blown season for the Celtics. Yeah. Like, and even coming in, like Gordon Hayward goes down the opening night with that nasty, gruesome injury. So you lose him for the year. You get Kyrie. It end up doesn't work. And like here they are in the two spot, and they're going to waste this season.
Well,
you think they have a chance?
No. I think their goose is cooked. But who says goose is cooked?
I was going to say. I was like, mom. I'm writing that down.
It's Friday, right? Who got no job? Ain't got no place to be. I think that they're playing with house money this year. Like, so I'll make the case that, like, there's no real need for them to play with Gordon Hayward, Kyrie. You weren't beating LeBron in the Cavs anyway. Like,
right.
You were supposed to win next year. So, like, Gordon, that sucked. That was a catastrophic injury. It sucks that you don't have Kyrie. But Jason Tatum's going to get some, like, invaluable experience. Like, he's no longer really a rookie. Jaylen Brown has had a great turn from year one to year two. He'll be a better player. You're getting some of these guys some experience. And so next year is when everybody, I think even in Boston, if you're talking about, like, not the fans, but the people in the organization, the target was probably always next year. So provided all those guys come back healthy and you're ready to rock at the beginning of the next season, I don't think there's anything lost from the Celtics' perspective.
All right, so if you are... Because the Celtics are in the two spot right now. If you're the Heat, the Wizards, or the Bucks, they're all within a game of each other in the 6, 7, or 8 spot. Do you try to manipulate anything so that you get the 7 seed, so you get the 2-7 matchup with Boston without Kyrie, because it looks like you can win that series easily?
Sure.
So you would. So if you're the Heat and it's 6, you might try to lose a game to try to manipulate it.
I would. Yeah. I don't know.
You'd be dumb not to. Teams tank all the time.
They do it all the time.
Position.
The problem is, like, you know, you talk about like the golf gods or the basketball gods or the football gods.
Right.
You don't want to anger them. So you don't want to make it like completely obnoxious where you're just giving away games and tanking them. But in a scenario like this where one win or one loss could be the difference, maybe you rest guys and not really worry about getting the win. I think that pulling Boston now without Kyrie is very, very valuable, way more valuable than whether guys are healthy or not. You don't want to see LeBron or the Raptors in the first round if you could avoid it. So I'd be jockeying if I could.
I want to see a couple of – Debo wants to see the Sixers-Heat matchup in the playoffs so we can go watch the games. I want to see the Heat-Cavs just to see LeBron this Heat team.
He'll beat them 4-1.
I think he probably would too, but I still want to see it.
Me too.
No, he'll beat him 4-1. It won't even, like, all that. That's the crazy stuff about LeBron. Like, I'm with you. He plays, they're garbage in Miami. Historically, he's terrible in Miami.
Why?
Regular season.
Right.
He will smoke them 4-1.
I don't want to see them with the Sixers.
I would go watch that team. Like, that's Sixers a young team I would love right to watch now. Play. And I think it would be a good series. I think it'd be fun.
What's that, 12 in a row?
12 in a row. Yeah. Play the Cavs tonight.
Yeah. To determine the three seed?
It was real. While
all right, so Debo, you're going to have to help us out through these. Because Debo's got some scenarios here called what would it take?
Yeah.
So basically this is just, is it possible or
facts? What's it going to take these following teams to win the Eastern Conference?
So what would it take for the Cavs to win the East?
Yeah.
What would it take?
Yeah.
They're going to win the East. So true to form. You know what it's going to take? No injuries. No injuries for the Cavs. They can't afford anymore. They're playing with a very very dicey chemistry there.
So they're obviously our favorite. I think we all agree with that. All right, what about the Raptors? What would it take for them to win the East? I think Kyle Lowry's got to get over his postseason woes and get hot.
I agree. It's going to take those two playing in the playoffs like they played in the regular season, and that hasn't happened in the last few years. So you're right. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan both acting like all-stars.
All right, what would it take for the Celtics to win the East? I'm going to say they can't acquire any talent.
Yeah, I was going to say Gordon Hayward growing a new ankle quickly or like I don't know. Nah, there's no chance.
All right, no chance for that. What about the Sixers to win the East?
That's interesting.
When is Embiid back, by the way? And is he going to come back with a mask? Is he going to do a
– I would assume a mask. Maybe miss one playoff game is the early time frame for that 2 weeks after he underwent surgery.
They have to have him back or they have no chance.
Yeah, the Sixers are going to – let's see. The Sixers would need the Cavs to be upset somewhere by – well, I guess it's not an upset if the Raptors beat them because numerically they're a better team. But it would require them not facing the Cavs at some point and then them
so
just,
they dodge – they have you, but – you don't think they'll have to go through the Cavs? You're saying for the Cavs to get upset before them?
If the Sixers got the 3, won the first round series, they would face either the Celtics or whoever the Celtics lose to. So they could theoretically avoid the Cavaliers if the Raptors beat them.
Yeah, right. So
that's
like
the scenario.
Whatever scenario that has to transpire, like that would have to happen. They can't pull the Cavs. And then they would have to just defend. They're one of the best teams in the NBA defensively. Like they're number 4 in defensive efficiency, number 1 in field goal percentage against in the paint, number 3 in three-point percentage against. Like they really lock up and defend. They have to do that at that level. And then they just have to find one of those three guys to be like D Wade in that 2006 playoff series against the Mavericks.
Oh, okay.
Where he
went ham.
Like someone's gonna have to do that through the playoffs. Someone is gonna have to make their name as a player. Either Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, or Markelle Fultz is gonna have to like cement their star in the playoffs.
Have a breakout. Yes. Have a breakout type of moment. Any chance? What would it take for the East? Any team from the East to knock off the Warriors or the Rockets from the West?
Is it LeBron carry them? Well, we've seen LeBron have – LeBron had maybe the best finals numbers ever I forget what year it was when I was in Cleveland, and it still wasn't enough to beat Golden State. So there's not a whole lot that could happen, in my opinion, other than injuries to either the Warriors or the Rockets. Look, if the Warriors get through the Rockets without Steph Curry and Steph Curry isn't healthy coming into the finals, one of those teams could have a shot.
All right. Debo put this list together, and I thought it was really interesting because if this was a storyline in the NFL season where how many big-time players, when you had Aaron Rodgers lost for the season, J.J. Watt was lost for the season, but the NBA did not go unscathed either. With Gordon Hayward going out that week one, now you got Kyrie out. The Kawhi Leonard saga in San Antonio was all transpired because of that quad injury.
Yep.
Kristaps Porzingis goes down with the ACL. Like big-time players, Kevin Love, all the issues that the Warriors have gone through, Isaiah Thomas getting shut down. Like it is injury after injury after injury that have really shaped these standings and will have a great impact moving forward. Who is healthy, who isn't?
Yeah, these are huge.
It's just bad luck. I think it's guys are so dialed in a good way, like to training, to off-season training, to nutrition, to all of it, to, and I say, I'm not going to say PEDs, but like performance-enhancing nutrition,
yeah, sure,
vitamins, all those stuff, that their bodies are still catching up to how good a shape they're in.
Right.
And the movements, which, because they're so dialed in and so strong. And
like you're like, putting way too much torque and stress absolutely. On some of these joints. Like yeah.
And like their bodies aren't ready for it.
Right. Some of these were so devastating, though. Like Gordon Hayward, never forget.
Yeah.
Never that forget. Brutal. That was awful.
You know what's interesting? Like that was a terrible injury.
It was awful.
But like I took my kids to like, I'll take them to like an agility guy, mm-hmm. like start building their little base. And they don't start doing any of like the plyometric stuff now until they teach kids how to land. So the first thing they do is teach them how to land and control their body so that they don't start jumping and putting all this pressure on these joints and they don't know how to handle it, trying to protect them from these injuries that you're kind of talking about. But in terms of catastrophic injuries this year, if I had to rank them, I'd say Gordon Hayward's number one just because there was so much anticipation. You wanted to see what the C's would look like. And even though I thought next year was their year, they had Gordon Hayward. They could squarely be in the mix for trying to win it this year. So Kawhi Leonard is a close number two just because of what it's done to the franchise. I didn't think they were a contender in the West, even with Kawhi. But this has set off a domino effect of events in San Antonio that I don't think they recover from. Like you wind up losing Kawhi, not just the player, but what it does to the way you do business in San Antonio and the way it's always been our way type of – or the highway, and now you've got a superstar saying he don't want to be there and do that with you anymore, that's going to really hurt them. And then the third would probably be the Isaiah Thomas injury, even though they knew he was injured when they got him from Boston, mm-hmm. because, I mean, it's reshuffled a lot of decks. There's been a lot of movement because of that. So those would be the top three for me.
I would say, depending on how the season plays out, I think it could be Steph Curry. Like, how serious is it? How does he look when he gets back? Because yeah. the last time, remember, he came back the last time, thought he was good and they ended up losing.
Yep.
Now, who knows if it was the knee injury's fault, but it definitely impacted his play somewhat. So that's what I'm going to kind of keep an eye on for there. All right, let's keep it rolling.
Here's what's happening with Hannah.
UFC star Conor McGregor has been charged by New York police with 3 counts of assault and 1 count of criminal mischief after turning himself into the police following an incident on Thursday in Brooklyn. This all according to the NYPD. So the 29-year-old unexpectedly showed up at UFC 223 media event on Thursday, and he was caught on camera throwing a hand dolly through a window of a bus that was carrying UFC fighters. Now, UFC lost 3 fights for its Saturday pay-per-view event directly connected to the incident involving McGregor.
I love this. I love this story.
What?
I wish we had like it, love it, or hate it, because I love it.
Why?
Love it.
Are you familiar with the details? I'm going to give you some very vague details
because
I don't know the names. I'm not a super dialed-in UFC guy.
Yeah.
So one of Connor's boys, like one of the guys that's on his team that he trains with, is at this fight in UFC. This is what this Media Days was all about. So apparently one of the other fighters in UFC had like 10 guys and tried Connor's boy.
Okay.
Like somewhere. Like it went down.
Yep.
And they had like 10 dudes surrounding him. So his buddy texts Connor and tells him what's up. And Connor's like, I got your back. Gets on a private jet.
Can you imagine
from
if
Ireland.
Conor McGregor had
gets on a jet with 30 dudes and rolls up in there and was like, why are you messing with my boy?
Oh, wow. So
like he had his back. He came all the way over there just to have his boys back. That's why I like it. Now, I never condone a guy totally losing his mind the way he did.
Yeah, he really lost.
He was berserk. But if you I've interviewed Conor McGregor in a room like we are this close. I thought he was crazy. Like I'm looking at him like this guy could just like it's almost like you run into in the wild and you see like a lion or a tiger and you're like, I hope I don't make the wrong movement.
Jesus.
This guy could rip
my
face off.
Has that happened to you?
I have picture you.
Okay.
But like that's the way I felt about Conor McGregor. I look at him and I think he's legitimately nuts, and I think it played out.
He cost Dana White and UFC a lot of money, though.
Or did he
make
them a lot?
Well, that's the question: was it scripted or not?
Yeah.
Right? Like, was this like was it WWE type of stuff? But I don't know.
So you weren't into it?
No, that moved the needle. I'm more of a boxing guy.
Can you imagine though, like being in some beef and then texting Conor McGregor of all people?
Let's go fire up the jet.
Like if I was really in some beef, I'd be like, "Hey, friend, can do you have time to like maybe come over?" Okay. All right. Ty Lue returned to the Cavs sideline last night after missing 9 games with chest pains. Cleveland's game against Washington probably induced more chest pains for Wizards fans. Lue, LeBron, and the Cavs trailed by 16 with 6 minutes and 6 seconds remaining, but the King pulled off a 13-point four assists, and four rebound quarter to lead his team all the way back for a 119-115 victory. Ty Lue said he was rusty.
Yeah, man, good. Yeah, it was really interesting to see Washington fold down the stretch, but it's always good to see Ty Lue back, especially if he's got a clean bill of health. I mean, he's 40 something, like we are. Like I'm glad to see him back. And the Cavs, quite frankly, Coach Drew's great, but they need Ty Lue in the playoffs.
The Warriors lost to the Pacers by 20, let up 126 points, and Steve Kerr was not happy. He said, quote, "Yeah, I'm mad. I'm embarrassed. I mean, I know that this game doesn't mean anything in the seeding, but the playoffs start next week. It was an embarrassing effort, a pathetic effort."
He said it basically like Hannah just did, too. Like, if he was really ticked, yeah, I think he would have lost it. I think it's frustrating for Steve Kerr because he got a bored team. Like, they don't care.
They just don't care.
Right.
That's
and
it.
They shouldn't. They'll be all right.
At this point, seeding's in. Like, you're playing without Steph. Like, they don't care. They just want to play the playoffs.
Do you guys know what time it is?
No, don't.
Game time.
It's Tebow time. Just kidding. Okay, so Tim Tebow, he's still not great at baseball. He always has had a knack for making the most of the moment and securing storylines. On the first pitch of his first at-bat in his first AA game, Tebow hits a three-run homer. Do we care?
All right, Debo, this is a rule we're going to implement on the Kennell and Bell podcast. We are not allowed to put Tebow in any type of news read or here's what's happening with Hannah segment unless he hits a home run at Citi Field. Then we can put it in
I
there.
I tried to do that with LeVar Ball in the early season, and you kept asking for him.
No, I did not.
I like Tim Tebow. I hope he does well.
I like him too, but he's playing minor league baseball. It's not worthy of a read of a podcast
yes,
of our
is.
Caliber.
You know what? You're just a Seminole. You're just bitter.
I'm a hater.
All right. Penny Hardaway filling out his staff at Memphis, including two-time NBA champ and longtime Grizzly Mike Miller. Next question. Could Larry Brown follow? Brown has reportedly told people he wants to help Hardaway launch his college coaching career. But according to CBS Sports, Tigers athletic director Tom Bowen could be hesitant due to issues Brown has had with the NCAA.
I think that's legit, you know, in the climate of like that is the college basketball, NCAA basketball scene right now, like the scandals. Larry Brown comes with some baggage. Mike Miller's a great hire. No, I didn't realize.
I was surprised he did it. He was doing some broadcasting, but for him to take this gig, I'm like, man.
I always knew he wanted to coach. I think when I was with Mike back in Cleveland, Mike thought that he was going to get the Memphis job coming out of the NBA. And so I know that he desired it. Like, he played in Memphis for a long time, so that may even be home base. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
At least he's familiar with it.
Yeah, but going there, and Penny is the type of young coach that's probably – you know, he's going to give Mike a lot of voice, allow him to kind of figure out who he is as a coach, even though Penny's the head guy there. So it's a good look for Mike. Larry Brown's awesome, and he'd be the type of dude, Penny, for not having been a college coach. You want an older guy there who's been through the rigors of the job and kind of knows the landscape of it. But I don't know if, like, Larry, last time I saw LB, he looked like he was slowing down a little bit, so I don't know.
No ego at 75 years old now?
What do you mean, no ego?
Just being an assistant?
What are you talking about? No ego.
That's what I'm saying.
Larry Brown's great, but Larry Brown's got an ego.
Would that cause a problem with Penny?
I don't think so. I don't think at this point. I mean, Larry's a really, really smart dude. I don't think he does it unless he can say, hey, look, man, I'm coming here to help Penny. I just want to be around the kids. I just want to teach the game. So I don't think he'd take it for any other reason.
So lastly, we're going to talk about a punter getting signed, because that punter is the entertaining Marquette King, who yesterday signed a three-year, $7 million deal with the Broncos, guaranteeing two games against his ex, the Raiders, each year. Additionally, the Pats wide receiver, Jordan Matthews, on a one-year deal, partially to replace the recently traded Brandon Cooks. Matthews is entering his fifth NFL season, last year his first with the Bills. He caught just 25 balls for 282 yards and one touchdown while playing in 10 games.
All right, Debo, I have another rule for the Kennell and
nope,
Bell podcast.
I'm not listening
we
to this
are
one.
Not re-
I'm the
announcing
producer.
Any punter signings on
He's
this
electric.
Podcast.
He's electric.
He is. I
Can
lost.
Can we talk about Jordan Matthews at least for a minute, though?
Well, no, Jordan Matthews, good signing. Okay. But Marquette King, he lost me when he celebrated a punt and got a penalty for it. And I think that's when he lost John Gruden's favor as
Coming
well.
On Monday's podcast, punter rankings.
I don't
Bless
think
you,
that's going to happen.
Thank you.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Next up,
Take it or leave it.
All right, take it or leave it. Conor McGregor will appear at WrestleMania 34, or do you even care, Raja?
Don't care.
Don't care.
Don't
Thank
care.
You. I don't care either.
So you're
we
leaving
need one
it?
That says I don't care.
I'm taking it. I think some of it was scripted. I don't think it meant to get that out of control, yeah. But I do think you'll see Conor McGregor.
It's all
He'll
stupid.
Appear in some manner at WrestleMania 34 just because of his brand. All right, next up.
Take it or leave it.
This will be Russell Wilson's final year as a Seahawk.
Hopefully.
Oh, why are you a hater? Yeah. Why are you a hater? So our very own Jason LaConfora here at CBS Sports reports that that Wilson and the Seahawks have not been engaging in any real talks about a new deal. Jim Trotter of NFL Media reports there was some recent concern from Wilson's camp because Seattle GM John Snyder attended Josh Allen's pro day. I think this is much ado about nothing. He's got two more years. He's owed $32 million over the next two. That's pretty reasonable rates. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. There's no way the Seahawks aren't going to have him locked up.
I Leave do it. Agree. But he's Wait. Always annoyed me.
Why? You think he's phony?
Yeah. I was just going to say that. He's just too phony baloney. I feel like he's fake, and he plays this like really nice family guy. And
he's
I think
perfect.
In the locker room.
He's perfect.
In the locker room, I don't
it.
Believe it. Right. Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So he has this perfect image. I will say this. I have heard you. I've gotten arguments with people about this before. Mm-hmm. I've kind of just given up because I'm like, I don't know. Because I don't know him well enough to say, yeah, I'm going to get his back and say he's the real deal. I did meet Russell Wilson when he was a freshman at NC State, and he was just as polished. And I was like, whoa, this kid's different. Like, in a good way. Like, he's very polished.
And who knows? Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe he is perfect.
Right. But he might be. But there was some concern. I mean, his locker room and his own locker room, it's been talked about that players did not respect him, that they didn't rally around him. So it's
just blow
it's
your nose.
Our boy Raja's battling.
I'm going to leave it.
You're going to leave it?
I think he winds up staying there.
But leave it.
Here's my thing. The Seattle, they can't go to Josh Allen's pro day?
Right.
Like, your feelings are all caught up in that?
I bet all 32 teams were at the pro day.
Seriously.
Everybody's going to go watch. Like, it's not that big a deal, and it's not that far from them. All right, next up.
Take it or leave it.
RG3. Big news. Robert Griffin III gets signed by the Ravens. It was a one-year deal. He will win at least one more game in his NFL career. Take it or leave it.
Take it.
Take it.
Take it.
Take it.
That's as a starter.
That's as a starter. No, yeah, I mean, no, obviously he's got to play. I'm going to leave it.
Leave it.
No, you know what? I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to go back. Go back. Give me the other button.
Take it.
Not like a career starter, but Joe Flacco goes down, he comes in.
But
and
here's the thing:
game.
I don't know if he makes the team. I think he makes the team, and then if he does, then he'll get another win because I think he'll get to play. Because Flacco, who knows what's going on? I hope he does. I'm all about getting opportunities. All right, next up,
take it or leave it.
It is fair for Phillies fans to boo their new manager, Gabe Kapler. Take it or leave it. Are you familiar with what's going on? So my man has had one of the most disastrous starts to any sport, not just baseball, any sport. It's transcended it. So he got booed mercilessly yesterday in Philly. You would expect their fans. So they've only had five games. What was that?
Nothing.
You think that was a cheap shot?
No,
that was a legit shot.
Right.
Like
that's
legit.
Respect.
So they finally beat the Marlins yesterday. They advanced to 2-4, but he has been crushed for some of his in-game decisions. So early throughout, like he starts pulling pitchers after 62 pitches. Because he doesn't want, like, he has a theory about hitters seeing the pitcher the third time in the lineup, which is great in theory until you run out of pitchers, which has happened to him already. He called on one of his pitchers in the bullpen to go in the game. The guy hadn't even started warming up, hadn't done anything. It's been a disaster, to say the least. So he comes up again after the game. He said, this is Gabe Kapler. I'm going to work my ass off for these fans, hopefully over the course of the team. They'll learn to trust that I am in this with them. But an anonymous player said he needs to get out of the way. And a not-so-anonymous player, one of his own players, his outfielder Nick Williams, took a subtle shot at him in the media. He said, quote, I guess the computers are making the lineup. I don't know. Hey. I don't get, like, that was a very subtle shot at his manager. Yeah. I don't think he lasts the entire season.
Yeah, not with that kind of heat. Like, the fans are one thing, but when you got guys in your own clubhouse calling you out, sometimes it's tough for managers to just get out of the way. Like, don't overthink it. Like, even in basketball, like, end-game situations, if you have to manage a rotation at the end of the game in baseball or call in a closer or something like that, okay. But don't overdo it. Their guys are pros for a reason. Let them go out there and do what they do.
I also think don't boo anyone. If you're a fan,
I'm okay with booing. I'm okay with guys getting booed.
I'm so not.
Never?
By your home crowd? Like,
never.
You would never boo a Syracuse player.
No. Oh, my God, no.
I don't love home crowds booing.
I think it's rude.
I think it's rude, but I guess
this is why I got mad at
it. It's all right. Yeah, it's fine. I don't love it, though. I think it's
I would never boo somebody fans. Either. Like, it's the same. It's
yeah,
the
and
same
then they cheered Stanton the next time he opened.
I know. I was like, oh my God, make up your mind. Freaking Yankees fans. Watch, yeah. I'm going to become.
I don't love that about Philly, though. I got to be honest. Like, I love Philly, and I love that they're passionate, but I never saw, like, the point in booing your own. Like, guys, like, we got to
no
keep.
Point.
Is there any ever a situation where it would motivate you?
No.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm wondering.
I'm like.
Even
you know,
it might make you pissed off.
Yeah, F you guys. Like, yeah. Like I'm out here. Like, you think I'm trying to be bad?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, like really. Like, you
it's
think,
just a mental
we're,
thing.
We're
and
bad.
It's not fair.
I'm sorry. But I'm going out here. So, like, the point is, like, I might play for the city. You start booing me, even if I'm bad. Like, I don't play for you jackasses anymore. Like, it's, you know, that. Anyway, that's just the way I felt. I accepted it, too. But I just never understood what you were trying to get accomplished as a fan base by booing your home team. Didn't make sense to me.
All right, next up.
Topics.
What you got for us, Debo?
So, Aaron Donald's knives, confirmed fake.
We do this.
I can breathe now. That's it.
All right, good. Confirmed fake knives.
Next
here first.
One.
Or on Twitter.
Thursday, April 12th, 9:30 p.m.
I love this news.
Eastern time. Oh. What are you guys doing?
Watching HGTV.
Oh, no. Why?
Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade are going to appear on All-Star Flip. So the marketing pitch,
energy?
It reads, I'm not that
this
into it. But the marketing pitch, very exciting. Fans of the couple will see them showcase their love for home renovation as they buy, overhaul, and flip a fixer-upper in an up-and-coming Miami neighborhood. Hannah's
Hell
watching.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Chip and Joanna out.
Yeah.
Wade.
And
Wade's
Gabby
in. Yes.
Sweet.
Are they going to be in there sweating, like getting dirty and like fixing up bathrooms?
Nope.
They're going to showcase
exactly.
their love for home renovation.
Right. No, right. Here's what I love about them as a couple. Gabrielle is arguably way more famous than Dwayne Wade is. What? I've always loved
Dwayne
Wade.
If you think Russell Wilson is phony, like with his perfect like script.
No, look at their
Instagrams. Like, oh, lovey-dovey. Like,
hold
give
the
me,
phone.
Give
Do
me
you know them?
No.
Are you friends with them?
No.
So
I'm not judging. I'm saying from the outside looking in, it appears too good to be true. Maybe it is. No, I like that.
I think highly of Dwayne Wade until I met him and was like, I interviewed him. He's so nice. It was an embarrassing. It was an embarrassing introduction, but it was fine. Anyways, moving on. I will be
next Friday podcast. Maybe a report. Maybe not. I don't really care. Mark Ingram, a very good NFL running back, 2-time Pro Bowler, in fact. Not necessarily known, though, for being the most shifty running back in the world. That was definitely the case the other day with Ingram on a USO tour at the Aviano Air Base in Italy. He just got jacked up by this security guard.
He did.
Security dog. at Kanellen Bell on Twitter for this video. He just gets taken down. He tries to run like 10 yards. And the dog jumps. The vertical on this dog is higher than Ingram's.
Like they said, try to get away.
Yeah, he's wearing
dog.
Like the whole suit.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I thought it was just like an accident.
Like I said, you think you could get away from a security dog?
I couldn't get away from a dog.
I could get away from a security dog.
He posted a video. He's like, guys are telling me to juke this dog. I didn't decide to juke. Probably would have been smart.
I like it.
All right, have to talk just for a second about Eagles, not the Super Bowl champs, but a ceremonial fly onto the field and make the fans go crazy. Eagle, you've seen that before. The Twins had their home opener yesterday, festivities guaranteed in a situation like that. So this bald eagle was supposed to land on a handler's hand. Instead, it landed on Mariners pitcher James Paxton. And Paxton, surprisingly,
calm,
cool as can be. How would you react?
I would have freaked out.
There's no way
I would have walked out of there calmly. I would have definitely peed my pants, if not fainted at the same time.
I definitely passed out.
I don't know what you're supposed to do under eagle attack, but it looked like he knew, like, stay calm. Like, don't do anything.
I feel like
have you ever seen one of these eagles up close?
Yeah, I've had one.
It's like
land.
It's like a six-foot damn bird.
Oh, their wingspan
guys,
is
they're
ginormous.
Like dinosaurs.
And their claws, like, it's insane.
I would have freaked out.
I was so
like,
afraid of it.
I probably would have my eyes out.
I probably
would have.
Yes.
Like, I would have freaked out and freaked the bird out.
I probably would have swatted it by, like, just the reaction. Which
with your glove?
Probably.
Something, anything.
Bad move.
No, I know, but that probably would have been my reaction.
Like, natural reaction.
You get in trouble for that? Like, they're endangered species. Like, if you smack
Von Miller. Von Miller in a little bit of trouble.
You'd be, like, the most hated guy ever.
Man, leave Von Miller alone. The guy's on a fishing trip. He didn't do anything
wrong. We're gonna have
Wait, what'd Von Miller do?
He caught a hammerhead.
PETA's gonna come after the podcast now.
Bring it, PETA.
Hammerhead shark.
I love PETA's.
Bring it, Bama fans. So Paul Tyson, he's a 4-star class of 2019 quarterback recruit. Yesterday, he committed to Alabama. The thing about Paul Tyson is that he's the great-grandson of Crimson Tide legend Bear Bryant. Watch out, Tua.
Not yet. Tua's pretty damn good. This must have been Nick Saban's easiest recruiting job. He probably just texted him. What's up? Like, when are you signing?
Yeah,
you know he's coming there regardless of no matter what happens.
He's a four-star recruit?
Yeah.
So he's decent?
Yeah, he's definitely pretty good.
I wouldn't care if he was a one-star. He's still supposed to be a Bama.
All right. It's time for our five-star Q&A because it is Friday. We got some good stuff, Hannah. What you got lined up for us? Because some of this stuff, sometimes not so strong. What do we got?
Five-star Q&A.
I'm going to give it a I feel like we're
good. Though.
You think these are good questions?
All right, let's bring it.
I think.
All right, from Goal PBS, Gulps BS. I'm sorry. I have no idea. If you both were in college now and a booster offered you $10K, would you take it?
Right now, no. But when I was in college, I would have taken
it. That was the best response. Now,
No, but like, yeah, in college, if somebody came up and handed me $10,000, like I didn't know I was gonna play in the NBA or anything. I was just so stupid. That, yes, I would take $10,000 in a heartbeat.
All right, so my initial reaction to this was yours.
Yeah.
But putting my – I remember kind of being scared about the rules.
Yeah.
I think $10K would have passed the threshold for me. If it was a grand, I would have taken it.
Right.
But 10 seems like a really big number where I would have felt bad. Like,
you felt weird about it.
Maybe we get in trouble.
Yeah.
Like 1,000, I'd probably think, you know, I can kind of fly slide that under the radar. 10 seems like a big number.
Your stage
I would have been
was
inclined
also,
to take something. Like if it was an empty package and I didn't know how much was in it, I'd be like, all right.
You had to be on alert, though, because you guys were playing for national championships.
Yeah.
Like – at FIU, it was like the Wild Wild West. We didn't have class on Friday. Like, when they turned the lights out after the last professor left, there was nobody on campus except, like, 700 athletes. That was it. So, like, $10K, I was pretty comfortable that no one would ever
I didn't want to make it sound like I'm being pious, like I would have been the right.
Yeah,
know,
sure,
but
sure.
But I would have taken something.
I hear that.
From Moist Towelette 99, he says, my only wish is this show dropped episodes daily. Aw, thank you. Question, what is the most underrated small market city you visited while playing in the pros, and why?
Ooh. So NFL, you basically all are in pretty big markets, right? I mean, I played in Green Bay. I would say a preseason game, I played against Green Bay Packers. It was in Madison, Wisconsin, which is where University of Wisconsin was. Madison is a really cool town. Like, it's a cool college town.
Yep.
I really liked that. The fans were great. And it was August, so it was perfect weather.
Yeah, that's
'cause I would
dope.
Not want to be stuck there in December.
We also played preseason up in Vancouver. I don't know that that's a small market, but Vancouver
is a cool town.
So cool. But Portland. I like Portland, Oregon. I mean, they always have the Nike headquarters out there. The weather
and you're
is,
a Nike guy, right?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, you get that employee store.
But Adidas is out there, too.
That's right.
So, like, you had your pick. Like, really good restaurants. Pretty, like, very pretty scenery. Not always the best weather, but I kind of like Portland out there. Like, low-key. Yeah, Portland.
I feel like you go to Portland and get like acai bowls only.
Yeah, yeah. They
go for hikes.
Yeah. Do yoga.
Have granola.
Okay, from Bobby P05, question for Raja. He says, what really went down when Jerry Sloan retired? We all know it was D. Will that was the problem, but just want to hear you confirm it.
I can't really speak to D. Will being the problem because that all happened when I was in Phoenix. But what happened that night was Jerry Sloan called a play called Four Up, which is a specific play to the right-hand side of the court. The same exact play can be ran to the left side of the court, and it's called, like, four down. So Jerry called four up. We went out for the jump ball, and Darren changed it to four down because I think it was Paul Millsap or Al Jefferson. They liked the ball on the other side of the block. So essentially it's the same play, same guys getting the ball. He just flipped the sides. So we play the whole first half. Jerry seething.
Because of that.
No one knows why. So we come in at halftime, and we're losing to the Bulls. It was Kyle Korver and those guys. Kurt Thomas was with the Bulls at the time. And Jerry says, like, if you're going to change my effing play, at least give me the courtesy and let me know you're going to change it. So he's been holding this till like, halftime. So I'm sitting next to Greg Miller. He's like, the owner now. He's sitting next to me, and Jerry and Darren are, like, yelling at each other across the hallway. And so Darren says something to the effect of, like, yeah, I hear you, bro. Like, You got the power, but I got the juice. Something like crazy. And he looks over at Greg Miller. He's like, oh, I got to talk to you. So they go in the back, right? They go, and you're like, uh-oh, it's about to pop off. So Jerry is like, you're not having a meeting without me. So he runs behind there, too. So it's the three of them in the back, and you just hear, blah, 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 blah. So we go back out to halftime. Nobody knows what to do to start the second half. Darren comes over. He's like, yo, man, I just told him, like if this ain't going to work, they just need to get me out of here. I was like, look, dog, let's finish this game. Let's play ball. So the whole second half, this is going to be a long-winded story, but it's a good story. Whole second half, Jerry's looking at me and saying, hey, you tell Darren we need to run thumb up. And Darren will look over at me and say, you tell Jerry that we're going to run 43, whatever. And so I'm in the middle of this the whole second half. We lose the game. We come in after that, after the game's over. They're not yelling at each other anymore. But Jerry Sloan, we have a thing in Utah where you bring it in after everybody says 1, 2, 3, Jazz. So we bring it in, and Jerry Sloan, livid. He goes, 1, 2, 3, good luck.
Ooh.
And everybody looked around like, did he just say good luck? Next morning, I come in for treatment.
Done.
Jerry Sloan has already announced his resignation.
Bounced.
At 8:30 in the morning, I'm there on time. He's been there since 7:30 and has announced his resignation. I didn't see him again the rest of the season. 2-3 weeks later, we're sitting in a training room in Dallas. Darren next to me on the couch getting treatment. ESPN ticker goes across. Darren Williams traded to the Nets. I look at Darren. He looks at me, and he's like, yeah, dude, I'll be right back. And no one has told him he's gotten traded. He finds out. Yeah, crazy. Crazy.
I love the 1, 2, 3, good luck. Oh, that's almost who
1, 2, 3, good luck.
Was it the Clippers like that said 1, 2, 3, Baja? Like they had their off-season vacation already planned, and so they were doing that in the thing?
Jerry Sloan was a thug, though. He was a thug.
All right, we got a message from Rob from ATL, right? Is this a message?
Yep. Yeah. This is a Twitter DM. He tried to post it on iTunes, he said. Try harder, but we love you, Rob.
Okay, yeah. So he said, Hannah made some regrettable comments regarding the vertically challenged last Friday, and I'd like her to read on air this list of successful and good-looking dudes under 6 foot. Tom Cruise, ugly. George Clooney. Yeah, he's too short. He's 5'11". I just Googled it. Zac Efron. Bruno Mars, Martin Luther King Jr., in parentheses, he said, ever heard of him. Thank you, smartass. Thank you so much. Here. Rob from ATL.
Yeah.
I hear you, Rob. I hear you, bro.
And he said, Danny Amendola, who formerly dated Miss Universe, no less. That's in the whole universe. Yes, I'm very familiar with Olivia Culpo and Danny Amendola.
Sounds like we might have to get Rob back on the podcast to defend short people everywhere.
And he says, I'd like an apology and hope most of you check out the FSU spring game this month.
Yeah.
Rob, all right. I'm sorry.
Well played, Rob.
I'm 5'9". I like 5'4 and up. I'm standing by my word.
There you go.
Okay. Wasn't a question, but we made an exception.
Yeah. That was just like a burn.
It was good.
Okay. Another one from CB Morning. He said contacts versus contacts. Name starting five in a pickup game of hoops made from each other's contacts in your phone.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
Like, he's obviously going to know more hoop guys.
Yeah. Like, I feel like
maybe get Barkley.
I would never trust
y'all. Yeah. No, he's not in my contacts, so I wouldn't be able to get him.
You saw Amari Stoudemire the other day, right?
Yeah. I'd have Stat. I'd have a good Phoenix squad. Yeah. I'd have Stat, Matrix.
2006 Suns.
Steve Nash. I put Kobe in the mix. He can come over and play for the Suns. Yeah, I'd have a. Yours. That's not a fair question.
No, that's not a fair question.
What about
question.
In yours? Who are some people
try,
in your
try
contacts?
To fill out a roster?
Me?
Yeah.
Try
who
to fill out
some
a lineup
in your contacts
for to win a game or just famous roster? Because I would get Girardi.
To actually win.
I would
win
get Joe Girardi. Like he could be like player/coach, player/manager. He's not very tall though. Speaking of tall,
it's a basketball
game.
Charles
Barkley.
Basketball.
Yep.
Don't go fame.
Go actually winning the game.
I got a buddy that I play golf with at 6'8".
No, go fame. No. It's more fun fame. I want to hear the people in your phone.
I would never let y'all go through my contacts.
Like, he didn't even
spread.
Name me, bro.
I get Dan Marino.
Like, I'm in your effing phone, bro.
That's so true.
I need to.
Like, I'm not Kobe, but I can play a little bit.
5-on-5 golf. No, you're on the other team. I can't
call. Oh, 5-on-5 golf, I'm done.
I get ripped.
It's a wrap.
I get dibs on Rip.
See, you got Rip? There you go.
I get dibs on Rip Hamilton.
I would never let y'all go through the contacts on my
phone. I forgot Rip. Rip. Hey, no disrespect, dog. No shade. Rip can play for me. Rip, yeah, he's on.
All right. Hannah, Debo, do you think a double or even a triple quad date would help ease Debo of his super nervousness on first dates?
Always a good idea to go in numbers. Takes the pressure off of you.
Wait, was there ever a second date with the girl?
No, he said that. No.
Nope.
She bounced. She ghosted him.
Girl, I hope you're listening to this podcast. What a grave error you've made.
There you go.
But the podcast has actually been good. The Twitter handle for your boy over there, Debo.
Yeah.
The girl from The Bachelor, Bachelorette.
Shout out Jubilee.
Yeah, Jubilee. Let's get her on the pod.
She fired at Debo.
Did she ever respond? She got at you, bro?
No. I have a bone to pick.
To an extent. I thought
her response was eh.
Well, what's she supposed
to
do?
He said that his crush was her and was like shouting her out. You know what her
she
response
said,
was?
She said, aw, thanks.
Aw?
With the hard
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, aww. Like it was cute. She was
It's tone.
It's how you interpret it because you're like, aw. And I'm like, aw.
No, she's saying cute.
No,
like there's a huge difference between aw and
this girl thinks that she like is God's gift.
I don't think she does.
No.
Sorry if I just ruined that.
I think she's a huge fan.
Well, hopefully she's not listening.
I've seen her at some Heat games before, and I just feel like she thinks she's all that. Okay, sorry. Anyways, all right, from Florida Gator 221. He says, does Raja hate anything as much as Danny hates the SEC?
Ooh.
Officials?
It's a good question. I do hate officials.
Gronk.
No, Gronk and I are turning a page.
That's right. You're on the other side now.
Gronk and I are turning a page. I don't
hate the SEC, so you don't have to worry about that. All right, that's a wrap. Let's finish it on that one for Friday. I hope everybody has a great weekend checking out the Masters. Good luck to all those guys. Good luck, Tiger. Let's see him on Sunday.
What time did you tee off today?
1:30, okay. So this afternoon. Yeah, you can watch every shot right on CBSSports.com. Have a good weekend. Make sure you follow us at Cannell and Bell on Twitter and Instagram. Go subscribe to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you can find podcasts. Have a great weekend.